God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Do you think the Mockingbird media, that's what I call so-called mainstream media, big news outlets, do you think they'll ever regain any trust from you? I mean, maybe you trust them now. I shouldn't assume that everybody distrusts them the way I do. If you distrust them, do you think they could ever regain your trust? And if you trust them, how? I mean that legitimately. How do you trust them? The reason I speak of this and the reason I want to dig into this a bit is God has given us all this ability to engage in what I call pattern recognition. Every single one of us has this. God gave us not just hearts that are not to be afraid. We're not have souls of fear and hearts of fear, but hearts of passion and strength, knowing that we stand in victory with the Lord Jesus. He also gave us the ability to recognize patterns. And pattern recognition happens on a daily basis. People don't realize this, but we can apply the same thing to the world around us. We spoke last week about using pattern recognition to apply what's happening in politics to the Word of God, to take all things captive to Christ. What we did last week was we took things captive to the fruits of the Spirit. When you're dealing with someone in politics, are they in the Spirit? Are they patient and loving and kind? Do they seek to serve rather than be served? Do they practice actual tolerance, not the fake kind where you accept and choose to agree with things you know to be wrong rather than simply tolerating that those people exist? What do you see in pattern recognition on a media basis, on how the media interacts with society? Now, when God gave us this pattern recognition, that can seem like a daunting phrase, but let me give you some examples. When you drive to work, you have pattern recognition. You can be coming up to an intersection. You can see that there are twice as many cars as normal. The pattern is broken. You can say, okay, there's a problem. Maybe you've done that enough that you know all the side streets. If you've ever lived in a big city, you probably have method A, B, and C of getting to somewhere and the ultimate bailout turning around. That's pattern recognition. We have pattern recognition with loved ones. You come home, you say to your spouse, "Hey, good to see you. How are you?" "Oh, fine." "Okay. Really, how are you?" Pattern recognition also with loved ones, that suddenly loved ones stop doing what they like to do, that they're no longer engaging in friendships and you can become concerned. So in terms of pattern recognition in society, God has given us this great, great ability. Praise God. We can see this again scripturally. Are someone leaning into the desires of the flesh? Are they quick to anger? Are they quick to rage? Are they engaging the flesh, let's say, in drink, which can very often lead to engaging in the flesh sexually because it destroys inhibitions? That's why we're told in the Bible to remain sober of mind, to not get drunk on wine, and by inference, of course, then other materials, drugs. So we can see these patterns. We can see a great, huge pattern. If you compare the way God told us to live and the results of that versus how people sometimes choose to live, I don't regard it as a mistake that people get sexually transmitted disease when they engage with multiple sex partners. I don't see that as a mistake. I see it as tragic. But that point right there, that point, sexually transmitted diseases are tragic. That point is where I want to begin. We're talking about pattern recognition in the media and how the Mockingbird media interacts with society. That point about sexually transmitted diseases, I want to apply it to a grid. Okay, this is a grid, and I'll try to help you picture this knowing that it's radio. If you're really interested in this topic, by the way, I did a long, long podcast on this week. Talking about this dynamic, you can check out my podcast at thetoddhermanshow.com or for free, you can go look at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. So this is a chart. It has arrows pointing in a cycle. It's, in this case, a vicious cycle. It could also be called a positive loop. So one arrow is spinning around, and it spins around, and it spins around. There's four arrows. And the first arrow says this: it's not happening. That's not happening. The Mockingbird media can say that all the time. That's not happening. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's the second arrow. The third arrow is, yeah, well, it might be happening. And the fourth arrow is, it's happening and it's good. So let's apply this to what I just spoke about. God's design for human sexuality is that sex occurs in a marital relationship, one man and one woman. That's God's design. When people step outside of that design, they don't always go get a sexually transmitted disease. But if they do it often enough, they do. If they do that in a form of outside of marriage, if they commit adultery, eventually it comes out, usually. And if it doesn't, they carry that weight for the rest of their life. They carry that sin weight, even if they take it and confess it to the Lord. They know, and they will live with the stress of the rest of their life of someday their spouse finding out. That is an unintended consequence of going outside of God's law. So sexually transmitted diseases. We were told in the Mockingbird media that, no, wait, that's not happening. No, sex outside of marriage doesn't have any connection to that. That's not happening. If you look now at the major cities, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, the same ones we name all the time, you're going to see a massive, massive increase in certain sexually transmitted diseases. Chlamydia is way up, for instance. So is ocular syphilis, getting syphilis in your eyes. This is being seen in birthing rooms where babies are having to have antibiotics wiped across their eyes, because people have these sexually transmitted diseases. But it was a right-wing conspiracy theory that this was happening to people who had lots of sex outside of marriage with lots of partners. Now, the media began to admit, well, yeah, this might be happening, but let's not shame people. They did this with monkeypox. So, yeah, monkeypox is spreading, but not among same-sex couples. It's anybody can get it, or same-sex sex partners, but it might be happening. It could be the case. And ultimately, the media has landed, along with Planned Parenthood, on, well, shout your STD. This is Planned Parenthood's new design. Shout your STD. They have produced expensive visual art showing young people that getting an STD means that you're sexually active. In other words, you're hot. You're desirable. So shout your STD. So the cycle again is, it's not happening. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might be happening. And then ultimately, well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. This came to bear right up front in society on the topic of so-called transgenderism. And more specifically, boys or men pretending to be girls, using that to abuse girls. Just think of how this happens. So when people who are right-minded around the topic of sex, biological sex, said there are boys and girls, we were told, well, of course, we were told that's your opinion, your truth. When we said, yes, but if you take a boy who thinks he's a girl and allow him into a locker room or an environment where girls are undressing, it's going to lead to sexual assaults. No, it's not happening. Let's go through the cycle again. That's not happening. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might be happening. It's a good thing. Did they really get to it's a good thing? Let me take you through where this is headed, in my opinion, in regards to boys and men abusing the new societal power of pretending to be women. And let's see if the pattern recognition holds. There was a teacher fired from a program in Queens called MVP Dragons, okay? Now, MVP Dragons had this teacher, and this teacher is right on the edge of what the new in teaching sex is. I said teaching sex, not sex ed. There is a difference. Teaching sex. Let's go back to our pattern, and then we'll get to the gender application of this. Well, they're teaching perverse ideas in classrooms. They're teaching pornographic, perverse sexual ideas in classrooms. In other words, they're grooming kids. Oh, that's not happening. They're not grooming kids? No, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might be happening. But really, this is a way for kids to explore their sexuality with a trusted adult. That's the cycle. Once it became too impossible for them to hide the fact that this was going on in schools, the talk became, well, really, you know what? This is a way for trusted adults to discuss sexuality with kids. Why are you afraid of it? It's always been happening. So this teacher is fired.
Parents at the Middle Village Prep Charter School in Middle Village, Queens, outraged after hearing about a seventh grade writing assignment, which we've now learned has cost a teacher their job. The assignment contained several provocative questions that students were told by that teacher to ask each other. Parents showed us screenshots of the assignment questions, which include, quote, "What are your feelings about killing a handicapped child at birth?" Here's another. "What has been the worst sexual experience of your life?" Question number 5 reads, quote, "On an airplane, you are talking pleasantly to a person of average appearance. Unexpectedly, the person offers you $10,000 for one night of sex. Knowing there is no danger and that payment is certain, would you accept that offer?"
That's a middle school teacher. Now, let's go back through the cycle. That's not happening. There's no grooming of kids. That's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Now, here's a media outlet, God bless them, saying it is happening. Now we get to this stage. This is exploration. This is adults helping kids explore their sexuality. That statement is the Planned Parenthood template that will be in the media. I know this because I watched it happen in the separate country of Washington, the home for all bad ideas. Now, I brought up the gender topic. Those of us who warned that, hey, when you let boys pretend to be girls, and then you let them go into the locker rooms of girls or their bathrooms, there's going to be sexual violence. We were told that's not happening. That's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might have happened in a few occasions. It's a good thing. We're not quite to the good thing yet, but let me just show you this. The mother of the Loudoun County bathroom rapist. You remember this case? This was a boy who decided to pretend to be gender fluid. So some days he was a boy, some days he was a girl. He raped a girl in the bathroom of a school in Loudoun County, Virginia. The school covered that up. The father of the victim was arrested, thrown to the ground, wrestled to the ground by so-called cops. I say so-called because if you're arresting and throwing to the ground the father of a junior rape victim, a girl who was raped, for simply speaking his mind to the school board, you stopped being a law enforcement officer. I don't know what you became, but at that moment, you were not a cop. Well, that student was moved out of that school and put into another one, where he raped another girl. Here's what the mother of the rapist said. "You're 15. You can reasonably defend yourself. You're 15. You can reasonably defend yourself. It is the fault of the girls who were raped. See, they didn't fight hard enough." Does that take you back in time to 1910 or earlier, where it was a woman's fault for having not fought hard enough? That takes us very close to, it's a good thing it's happening. We're going to apply this pattern recognition to some other areas in the Mockingbird media, because God gave us the skepticism. And as we do this, let's also consider the fruit of the Spirit. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We're doing something today a bit different than we normally do. It's a single exploration throughout most of the program. Usually we go through separate sets of topics. We are going through many topics, but we're looking at this through one lens. And it is a lens of how the media interacts with us. And I asked a question at the very beginning of the program, which is, do you trust the Mockingbird media, that is the mainstream media, like, for instance, the Associated Press? Do you trust them always or never, maybe in between? And if so, if you don't trust them, can they ever regain your trust? And we've been applying to this skill that God gave us, pattern recognition. God gave us all the ability to recognize patterns. That's how society learned after a while that, hey, if a snake has really bright colors, it's probably venomous. Because after a series of times, people bit by certain snakes. Snakes that don't have bright, bold colors, no one died. If a snake has bright, bold colors, it's likely to be poisonous. Likewise, with berries and food, it was all pattern recognition that we began to learn what was good for us and what was not. My dad had a saying in the forest, if we were out foraging, purple or blue, good for you, green or red might be dead. It just was a shortcut on which berries are likely to be okay for you. I mean, raspberries are, of course, red. It's one of the areas in which the pattern breaks down. There's some others, but generally speaking, purple or blue, good for you. Green or red might be dead. It was true in the Pacific Northwest. Still hold to it to this day. So we were given this ability to use pattern recognition, and then we're given God's word. And God's word is perfect. In the Bible, it's inerrant. It's complete. So we can use God's word then to compare our world to how God would order things. And in that way, take pattern recognition to a much greater efficacy by recognizing the patterns in life and then comparing them to the pattern of how God would have things be. That's something we get to do here. So we were taking then a template that the Mockingbird media applies to world events. The template goes like this. It's a cycle. If you were to visualize it, think of arrows in a wheel form. The arrows are just spinning around. The first arrow comes after the first point. It's not happening. That's not happening. The Mockingbird media will tell us that's not happening. And when we say, well, no, it is happening, they can say, oh, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Then we get to the next stage. Oh, that might be happening. And then we get to, it's a good thing it's happening. This is how the Mockingbird media lays things out so often when they get caught. Before they're caught, they start with, that's not happening. So let's go through some examples of this. You remember all that concern about illegal immigrants being allowed to vote? That's not happening. There's no instances of illegal immigrants voting. That's simply not happening. Well, here's an article from the Associated Press, one of the main organs of that's not happening. This is on Twitter from the Associated Press. Oregon Department of Motor Vehicles mistakenly registered more than 300 non-citizens to vote since 2001. Whoops. Huh. How'd that happen? That's not happening. Illegal immigrants aren't registering to vote. Well, it's a right conspiracy theory to, well, it might be happening. This is the it might be happening stage. We have said for years that when you give illegal immigrants IDs and driver's licenses, they're going to end up in voter databases. They have. That's the design. Let's take the pattern recognition and take it back up to the Word of God. Use honest weights and measures. It's Deuteronomy. Use honest weights and measures. Don't cheat people. If you say it's a dozen rolls, make it a dozen. That's why bakers back in the day had the baker's dozen. So they didn't get in trouble. They gave you 13 rolls. It's not just a dozen, it's 13. They're not using honest weights and measures in our elections at all. It is not an honest weight and measure to allow illegal immigrants onto our voter rolls. It's dishonest. But that's not happening. you shall not lie. It is happening. You shall follow the rules of the government. The government has to do that too. They're not doing that. Furthermore, they're not following the ultimate rule book in the United States. That is our Constitution. Illegal immigrants aren't allowed to vote. We can take these things captive to God's word, and then we can compare this to the fruit of the Spirit. Are people who are doing this seeking to serve or be served? If they're seeking to serve, wouldn't that be that they would serve to make sure that the laws they swore to uphold are upheld faithfully? Wouldn't that follow? Seems to me it would. So the Associated Press getting us very close to it's might be happening. Illegals might be voting. NBC News took on the topic of illegal immigrants voting. Pay careful attention.
Former President Trump frequently repeats false claims about migrants voting.
They can't speak a word of English for the most part, but they're signing them up.
That's not true. It's illegal for non-U.S. citizens to vote for president or in any federal election. And there have been few recorded incidents of non-citizens trying to vote illegally. There's also no evidence of anyone trying to get undocumented migrants to vote, according to experts. The state of Texas says it's found almost 2,000 non-citizens who have previously voted, but it's unclear if they've been charged, and liberal advocacy groups question the claims. Still, the laws allowing non-citizens to vote locally have sparked backlash across the country and fueled Trump's claim of widespread migrant voting, which have been echoed by Elon Musk and conservative media hosts, and inspired a bill that would require proof of citizenship to register to vote.
In other words, it's inspired a bill that would force states to enforce the constitutional prohibition against illegal immigrants voting or non-citizens voting. There's so much in that report. It's not happening. Well, it might be happening. In Texas, it may have happened, but it's not happening. But in Texas, it might have happened. But it's unclear if any charges were filed, but it might have happened. All the way up to, well, they're voting in municipal elections. So they are voting. Illegal immigrants are voting. Washington, D.C. is one of the places where illegal immigrants can vote. Pattern recognition. The Mockingbird media is going to get us to the stage of it's a good thing they're voting. Because remember the template. That's not happening. Illegal immigrants aren't voting. Yes, they are. No, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might be happening in Texas. Well, and they're voting in municipal elections. And that's a good thing. You think they'll stop when there are illegal immigrants found to be voting in large numbers in federal elections? Incidentally, how would they prevent that? We don't check voter ID. We don't check signatures. We don't validate anything about these ballots in many of the states. Now, last week, we were treated to the cat controversy. President Trump quoting what many people have said on video. Resident after resident after resident of Springfield, Ohio has said, the Haitian immigrants brought into our country in this novel new way, mass numbers. In my judgment, this makes them illegal immigrants, are stealing cats and eating them. But David Muir, a journalist, he said that's not happening. He checked with the city manager of Springfield, Ohio, who said that's not happening. In other words, it's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Really? Christopher Rufo has discovered that Haitian migrants are, in fact, eating cats in Ohio, just like Haitians eat cats in Haiti. Now, it's in Creole, so I can't play it for you in any meaningful sense, but I watched a video this past weekend. I started to watch it. I like cats. I mean, I eat meat. I understand the hypocrisy of this, but I like cats. And he was teaching Haitians how to skin and properly cook a cat that you caught in Haiti. It happens that just up the street from Springfield, Ohio, there are, in fact, Haitian immigrants eating cats.
Yo, what is this they got on the grill?
Is that, did they kill some cats?
Man, listen, man. They're going to cat right there. His ass better get missing.
It's a cat.
Man, look like his homies on the grill, man.
They're cooking a cat. I have the advantage of watching the video. They're cooking a cat. I can play for you interviews of women who say they witnessed the Haitian immigrants with cats, hundreds of cats in a van, later pulled over by the police. I can play for you audio of a man who saw this. Same van, same incident, same outcome, pulled over by the police. I can play for you audio, maybe we will later this week, of a man who said his neighbor's cat was captured by Haitians and eaten, and then the man cried, and ultimately the Haitians were given a $150 fine because they were found with more cats. But it's not happening. Let's go back to the cycle. Remember, the cycle is that's not happening. Well, there is footage of a guy cooking a cat who appears to be a Haitian immigrant. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. No, there's the footage. Well, it might be happening. Now we're going to get up to it's a good thing. No, we'll get that. We'll get to the it's a good thing. But it's not cats. Well, progressives would never say eat cats. It's about eating humans. Oh, I'm not kidding. Back in 1989, the Los Angeles Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals put together an educational campaign to teach immigrants that American culture does not tolerate consumption of dogs and other domestic pets as food. According to Edward C. Kudra, the group's director, that came out of the Los Angeles Times. They reported that an organization that exists to stop people from being cruel to animals felt a need to tell immigrants, don't eat cats and dogs. Well, it might be happening. A gentleman put together a pretty funny treatment on this. Really funny. Using an auto-tune device.
Springfield, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
People of Springfield, please don't eat my cats. Why would you do that? Eat something else. People of Springfield, please don't eat my dog. Here's a catalog of other things to eat.
He shows a picture of other things you can eat instead of eating cats and dogs. So we can take this captive. Is the Mockingbird Media really in good faith telling the truth that it's not happening? No. They checked with the city manager, but citizen journalists checked with citizens who say it is happening. People who had first-hand knowledge, who saw cats taken by the hundreds in a van and then later were pulled over by police and given a fine. It is happening. Just up the street from Springfield, there's footage of a guy grilling a cat to eat. It is happening. The template, then, that we've been talking about, it's not happening, it's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might be happening, to it's a good thing. We'll get to it's a good thing. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, no, we'll get there. I promise. John Legend is a musician of, well, he's very famous, very rich. He is a resident, or he's a citizen, comes from Springfield, Ohio. He was finger-waving people in Springfield to not criticize these immigrants. That change is hard, accept the change. He made a video about that. He made it from his multi-million dollar, huge, huge home in Hollywood. I mean, it's his money. He earned it. This is John Legend's wife, Christy Teigen, on the topic of eating people to save the planet.
If the person okayed it, I would eat a human. If you were at a very fancy restaurant and they were like a tiny piece of human meat.
No. I think the only way
I wouldn't try a tiny bite?
No.
Really?
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't either. God told us, don't eat people. You're not to eat humans. And when you eat humans, guess what happens? You fall outside of God's plan. Societies of humans who ate humans degraded themselves genetically, created terrible diseases. But remember, it's not happening, except it is happening. There are people experimenting with eating humans. Here's something from the BBC. How eating insects could help climate change. Well, those are just bugs. Here's another. Prevent climate change? Time to eat your pets? It's BBC. Another one. Will you eat dog food to fight climate change?
This is from the Evening Standard. Scientists suggest eating human meat to tackle climate change. It might be happening. It's a good thing. Incidentally, it's a horrible thing to say, but it's a true thing to point out. If you really do fear climate change, you really should eat your pets. I don't want you to eat your pets. I have a dog and two cats. We had a beloved dog who died last year. I don't want you to. But a dog, a medium-sized dog, will produce more carbon dioxide in its life than a huge SUV on average. Now, how could I say that? Because the dog produces carbon dioxide every minute it lives. The SUV only when the engine is on. Period. We can take all these things captive. The Mockingbird Media, what's the pattern? Do they lie to us on a consistent basis? Is that a consistent pattern? Is this template? That's not happening. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might be happening. It's happening and it's a good thing. Does that hold true? You need more proof about the dogs? Okay. When we come back, we'll wrap this up with some proof about the dogs, or at least some eyewitness statements and the tower babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I cannot wait to tell you about a mission of love that the American Family Association has put together called Culture Warrior. Walker Wildman put this together. You know Walker. You know the Wildman family, the people who've been given God's permission to continue to steward this network that Brother Don started. You can read about that in Brother Don's book, I Had a Vision, God Had a Plan. Don Wildman with Alan Wildman, talking about how this idea that Don had for this very network, 180-some stations with God's word at the center of the news, how God said, hey, here's how to get it done. There's this video out now, this documentary, rather, about Brother Don, the, I think, original culture war. I think you can make that case, and I think you can make it quite honestly. Can't wait to share that with you coming up here in a second. We've been talking about pattern recognition, this great gift God gave us. The ability to look at things and say, this is not right or that's not right. Or, hey, you know what? There's a whole bunch of traffic on this road. That generally means there is a problem. Or that person lies a lot. I don't think that they're a Christian. I don't think they're in the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, you know what? My brother-in-law started drinking again. I'm worried about his marriage because last time this happened, it led to other sins of the flesh. And we've been applying this to how the Mockingbird media treats us. The mainstream media. We just went through the case of them saying, oh, wait. No illegal immigrants are voting. That's a right-wing conspiracy theory to, well, it might be happening. And then, well, it's a good thing that they're voting in municipal elections. That's a good thing. You could apply it to anything that they say is not happening. There's no kids being groomed in schools sexually. That's not happening. That's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, it might be happening. It's happening and it's a good thing. This is how kids can explore their sexuality. That's a good thing. And we've been applying that to the fruit of the spirits and the word of God. In the case of election integrity, use honest weights and measures. That's not being done in this country. Or last week, the controversy of the cats. President Trump said that some of the Haitian immigrants are stealing cats and eating them. David Muir, who was arguing on behalf of Kamala Harris while pretending to be a moderator, said he'd checked with the city manager. That's not happening. Now, of course, there's videos that have surfaced of men barbecuing cats in a city just up the street from Springfield and audio like this. Audio from Springfield, Missouri, where people are, in fact, reporting having eaten cats. This comes from Rebel News. And the reporter there goes on Twitter by the Menzoid. His name is David Menzies. And his report that it actually is happening.
Then, and I'm with Harold right now. And Harold, the reason why we're down in Springfield, Ohio, it's about this issue where there are perhaps up to 20,000 Haitian migrants in this little city of 50,000. We're trying to find out what's going on. There are all kinds of allegations out there, such as Haitian migrants capturing animals and even pets.
That's true.
It's true.
My neighbor's dog, my neighbor's neighbor, went over to his house crying because the Haitians had just moved in, stole two of his cats and skinned him and ate him and threw his skins back over the fence. They've got police reports on this. They steal the ducks out of Snyder Park all the time. There's no ducks. There's geese, but there's no ducks. They told all the ducks, and that's a proven fact. The police has already sat there, walked in a guy's house, had the swans and all the ducks hanging up in their kitchen. They didn't do nothing but give him a $150 fine.
Harold,
they
this is
get by with murder around here. They wreck everybody's cars. They're rude to everybody.
I mean, I'm not sure about them kidnapping them, but with my own two eyes, they did kill my daughter's cat. They ran.
You witnessed this?
Yes.
Deliberately?
Yes. And we tried to get the cat up. They wouldn't let us. They was going to run it over again. So, and that's just on Pleasant by Dayton Avenue.
Did the cat perish?
And no, it died. Yes, it passed.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know. They don't speak our language, so you can't ask them. They just tell you, no.
Harold, this is absolutely fascinating. This story about your neighbor, is there any photographic or video evidence of the animal carcasses or what have you?
I don't know if the neighbor took a videos up, but I know he was crying and upset because they killed his cats.
But it's not happening. Remember, we went through the cycle. The BBC telling us it might be a good idea to eat the pets to fight climate change. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand. You know, people like David Muir at ABC News. We do that in our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babel.
Three sound bites in The Tower of Babel. First one comes to us from CBS News claiming... impartiality.
It was basically saying, go out there and vote. Here's my opinion on what's going on.
She's not telling you who to vote for.
Yes.
She's saying, do your own research.
And we respect that around here as much as we try to remain impartial. All right, so there is
controversy. We don't try to remain impartial.
We do.
We do. We are impartial.
100. We are. 100%. Gail, way to.
It's one way to be impartial, Gail King, who is heard in that clip there. Gail King chatting with Nate Burleson is to give $9,000 to Kamala Harris's campaign. In California, which in fact she did. I don't know that that's being impartial. I don't know that expressing support for her is being impartial. In fact, I know that it's not. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. So Chris Wallace, the son of Mike Wallace, who was a pretty great journalist, he decided to turn to an expert to determine something on a scientific basis. And that is this question for a scientific exploration. Is President Trump a gangster? You know, there's that scale, that very famous gangster scale that can tell you if someone is a gangster to what level they are a gangster. So to do this, Chris Wallace on CNN welcomed actor Robert Bobby De Niro.
You have compared the Trump family to a gangster family, which is something coming from you. What do you mean?
Well, they are. Well, he thinks he's a gangster. He does everything like a gangster.
He does? He murders people? He says, if you don't come to my rallies, I'll come to your dry cleaning shop and break the windows for you? He does? He money launders? He sells illegal drugs and guns? Wow. You know what? Someone should investigate Trump. I don't think there's ever been a criminal investigation of President Trump. Someone needs to get on this. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is Peter Doocy questioning the spokeslier for the figurehead Biden. Remember during the debates, David Muir lectured President Trump that tariffs are a national sales tax, and Kamala Harris joined in with her partner, David Muir, all three people ganging up on President Trump to say that tariffs are a sales tax, a national sales tax. So Peter Doocy asked the spokeslayer at the White House about this because it happens that the people who run Joe Biden have just announced new tariffs on Chinese goods.
So can you talk about whether these new tariffs are fundamentally different from what Trump has proposed and how?
So the 301 tariff, the tariffs. So look, we made an announcement this morning, as you just that went out early this morning. And I think
I'm sorry, I should have been more clear. Yeah. How is it not a sales tax on all the goods that people buy every day?
Look, what we're trying to do is making sure that we're protecting American workers and businesses.
Well, it's very different because they're trying to protect American workers and businesses. And I erred. That wasn't Peter Doocy, clearly. My apologies to the journalist who actually asked a good question. See, it's all very, very different when they do it. You know, that's the way it works. Well, for them. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I am really excited to announce to you that there is a new movie documentary coming out. It's called Culture Warrior, and it's about Brother Don Wildman and the battle for decency. And you can get to this. This is coming out on November 11th and streaming and DVD. You can go get ahead of the game. Go to culturewarrior.movie. That's culturewarrior.movie. So go check this out. And I got to see a treatment of this early on. And it is a pleasure and an honor to sit here, but it's much more, even more of an honor now. See, Brother Don used to set forth at this time slot, or as we say in radio, this particular day part. And to sit here to do what he did far better than I is a great, great honor. So the documentary talks about the National Federation for Decency in 1977, monitoring primetime television, use of boycotts to pressure advertisers regarding network content, and the influence of a secular humanist worldview expressed in entertainment media. See, Brother Don, did you hear the dates? 1977. Brother Don began to take this all on. And Walker Wildman had a great hand in getting this done. And of course, here talking about his grandfather, what a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to celebrate his grandfather and do it in this way. Brother Don stood to try to stop what we're living through now. And people could say, well, but he didn't. Oh, he stopped much. It has taken them this long, 1977, when Brother Don started this fight. It has taken them this long to get where they ultimately wanted to get in abortion. And look what's happening. There is a huge act of God where young people are beginning to recognize the evils of abortion. See, Brother Don's work on all of these topics, sexuality, all these topics, the perverse sex acts on TV, all of these topics slowed them down. Praise God, that saved souls in and of itself. But they did something else. He set up an environment through which we live now where young people are getting to see what happened when the demons became desperate and then overconfident. This is what I think has happened. Because of the work of Brother Don and people who surrounded him, the original culture warriors, the demons had to try desperate, desperate measures, and they did, and some of this worked. And then, as they always do, because they cannot love, they cannot build, they cannot create, they cannot feel joy, they can only tear down, they can distract, distort, they can do that, they can depress us, distract us, distort us. They became overconfident. Young people today, and we played countless examples of this on the program, young people today praising God. Actors like Russell Brand coming to see the Lord and praising Jesus Christ in huge public forums. People beyond him. coming to the Lord, becoming Christians. Do you remember the band Lynyrd Skynyrd? Remember them? I mean, they're not young guys anymore, but they were way back in the day a great big band. They still are. One of the two brothers of the Van Zandt brothers, Ronnie and Donnie, two of them, have put together Van Zandt. Their new record is called Always Look Up, and it's about the Lord. There's a song on it called Jesus Christ, and it's about the Lord Jesus. They are now proclaiming the word of God. And young people, or even middle-aged people like me, who are now seeing our rock heroes come to this, are reacting. Brother Don, in his work as a culture warrior, slowed this down. He slowed the march down. Think of all the souls that would have been lost without him and without this network. When you become a monthly donor here, you allow us to continue this work, started by Brother Don and accelerated by the Wildman family, as Brother Don has gone to his reward. So again, you can go right now and get ahead of the game with this movie. It's culturewarrior.movie. My suggestion is make plans to play this in your church for your spiritual family, if you're a spiritual leader. Pastors, get this into your churches. This would be a great one for home groups, for small groups, or we call them life groups. Watch this together and become inspired by what was done back then without the internet. Brother Don had to do this without YouTube. Brother Don had to do this without any of the social media events or abilities. He had to do it when you had to mail press releases to people. You couldn't even really email in 1977. Only the government really could. Praise God for this. Praise God that I get to sit here and recognize the work of a man who, when I was a teen, I got to be honest, I would have looked at Brother Don and said, look at that. Look at that angry preacher, man. Now that I sit here in the chair, euphemistically, the chair, at least the day part, which he held forth, I can look at the arrogance of my own youth and I can say to God, thank you. Thank you for making life hard. If you hadn't, I think I'd still be arrogant. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may his peace wash over you. This is Todd Herman. For Randy and AFR, this is Ben of Disciples View. Do you